Thank you for that blessing. Thank you for your prayers. That was so very special. We'll take prayer always, won't we? Doesn't that always feel good? Yeah. Well, good morning. It's delightful to be with you. I'm very delighted to be here. We had a wonderful day, as Father Joe said yesterday. That was an extraordinary healing day. And wonderful service this morning. We've fallen in love with your church. You have a wonderful church. As he said, we are from Christian Healing Ministries in Jacksonville, Florida. And we are so excited to share with you. We feel very honored to be invited to be here. And I felt like this morning, you know, normally I talk about kind of how to get people healed. And that's what we did all day yesterday, the different areas of healing that each and every one of us needs. But this morning, well, it was actually 4 o'clock this morning. The Lord, I don't know why he talks to me in the middle of the night. I'm sure some of you have that. I always say, I want to go back to sleep now, you know. But at 4 in the morning, he said he wanted me to encourage you, okay, to become all that God has created you to be. And to be able to do all that God created you to do. You know, I learned many years ago now that it's not what we do, like our profession. It's our vocation, isn't it? To find out why God has us here. Why am I here? And we've all been through that kind of eternal question. And I started asking that question as a very young woman. And the only thing I was certain of was that I really wanted to help alleviate people's suffering. That was just, I grew up in Appalachia in eastern Kentucky. There was a lot of poverty around me, a lot of people suffering, a lot of people sick with no doctors and no insurance. And there was just something in me that just felt very called. And now I know it was the Holy Spirit. But after I went through all of my training to become a psychologist, I married a wonderful priest. He was a Roman Catholic priest, and that's another story. That's a wonderful story too. But before I actually married him, I was a young woman traveling really around the world, and I always tell people I was seeking God. And my father said, "Doesn't God live in Kentucky?" You know, like he wanted to keep me home with him. But anyway, I went and I was sitting. How many of you have been to Israel? I know some of you. Yeah, oh, quite a few. Well, I was in the Garden Tomb. Many of you know the Garden Tomb. And I was seeking God. I'd really been hungry for God. You know, when you hit those seasons where you just want to get close to him. And there was a young man preaching, and he's still alive today. He was the warden of the Garden Tomb. His name is Jan Willem van der Hoven, and he's still traveling. Fiery prophet. I'd never heard anybody preach like that. I was brought up in a denomination that really focused on missions work and evangelization. And we were always given the end of Matthew. That was called the Great Commission. And many of you know that. You know, Jesus commissioned the apostles and the disciples to go out. He said, preach the good news, you know. Go and spread this word. Freely you've been given, you know. Well, that day, Jan Willem preached on the end of Mark. And that's where I want to start with you. It's actually Matthew 18 is the Great Commission in Matthew, but I wanted to read Mark to you. And I want you to think about this in terms of your place in this world and what you're called to. Okay? Just listen to the words of this. Then Jesus said to them, go into all the world, and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. Now, all of you are believers, I assume. and you've all been baptized. You're all Christian. So you're a believer. So I want you to listen to these signs, okay? These signs should follow your life. In my name, you will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues, a new language. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. You'll be protected. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. Now, after Jan Willem read that, he looked up, and I thought he was looking right at me, like some of you know I'm looking right at you right now. And he said, how many of these signs are you showing in your own life? Are you praying for the sick? Are you praying for those that are being tormented by evil? You know, what are you doing with your life right now? And I have to say, and I'm sad to say it, I grew up in the church. I was there every time the doors opened. My mother made sure of that. And I had never been told to pray for anyone other than just, Lord, bless this person. You know, in the bulletin, we would put in there, you know, pray for Thelma. She's in the hospital. And the pastor would stand up and say, oh, Lord, bless Thelma. And I thought, well, Thelma doesn't need blessing. She needs healing. She needs healing. She's suffering. She's got cancer, you know? So when we're called upon to pray, do we know how to pray? I know I can see in you that you have the love of God in you. I can see that. And I know many of you have walked with the Lord for many years. But to be able to just pray with someone, to just take their hand, lay hands on them, challenge that evil that's been in their lives, maybe for generations. You know, we do generational healing at CHM. So sadly, that day, I said, no, I'm not doing any of that, Lord. I'm not doing any of it. And I just want to encourage you today to really begin to think about, what is God calling you in your Christian walk? What is he calling you to do? I love that the gospel today. You know, love your enemies, forgive them. You know, walk in peace, you know. My mother always made me memorize scripture, and I love that, pressed down, flowing over. That was one of the ones she made me memorize. It was just, yeah, so I loved hearing that today. But you know, in Matthew 10, Jesus, it says, well, I'll just read it to you. It's better than me paraphrasing it. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him, and he gave them authority to drive out evil spirits, and to heal every disease and sickness. And he said, these are the red letters, okay? This is Jesus speaking. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy and drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Isn't that beautiful? It's exactly what's at the end of Mark, if you leave out the snakes and the poison, okay? Which I like to leave out. I almost left it out, but I got to be true to scripture. Although I've told the Lord, I don't want to do that. Don't ever let me have a snake anywhere near me. You know, but then later in Luke 10, Jesus realized the suffering that was around him. He realized the pain that people's lives were in, the leprosy, the blindness, the deafness, the broken lives. And so when 12 weren't enough, and he knew they weren't enough, he gave that same anointing to 70, and he sent them out, and he said, go. And it was the exact same message: heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. It is so beautiful, because we don't even know. This is something I've heard my husband say. We don't even know who those 70 people were. We have no idea who they were. They're not named. They're not in the Bible. They're just 70 people. But yet, he gave them authority. He gave them the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And they just moved, you know, like a little army through Israel, bringing the good news and healing people. And I love the scripture where it says, they returned with joy. The 70 returned with joy. And I love this image of them and of Jesus, because they came back and they said, "Lord, even the demons were subject to us through your name." And it says that Jesus, now I want you to get this contrast. In the King James Version, which I grew up with, it says that Jesus was moved in his spirit when he heard that. See, because the Brits try to keep everything contained, you know, within. Don't get too emotional. You know, we've done a lot of work in England, and I tell you, it's a tough crowd. You know? I keep saying to Francis, do they even like us? Because we couldn't tell. But if you look at the original, where Jesus, when they said, even the demons are subject to us in your name, you look at the original language there, it actually says Jesus jumped up and down for joy. Now contrast that. He's moved in his spirit, or he's jumping up and down for joy. See, that was Jesus's response to these disciples coming back in saying, "Lord, Lord," people were healed, people were restored, people were brought to life. You know, it's just, and I told the group this morning, there is no greater joy than to serve God. And I know many of you know that. But there's no greater joy than to see a life transformed. To see someone, you know, I'm a psychologist. I've never transformed anyone. I've tried to help people my whole life. But when I started combining prayer with my therapy, that's when I saw lives transformed. So see, the Lord, this is where I want to encourage you. The Lord wants to use you. And I know most of you are over 40. Is that a safe assumption? And I am too, way over. And I think sometimes when we get towards the end of our journey on this earth, we start thinking maybe God is finished, or God's not going to use me, or God doesn't need me. And I just felt like God so wanted to encourage you. You're the people that have the wisdom. You're the people that have the life experiences. You know the Lord. Just think what you could do, even in Naples, even in South Florida, if every person in this room just reached out to one hurting person and said, "May I pray with you?" Wouldn't that would begin to change Naples, wouldn't it? But see, we've got to have the courage of Jesus and the boldness of Jesus and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Everything we do at Christian Healing Ministries is guided by the Holy Spirit, anointed by the Holy Spirit, because he is the one that carried on the work of Jesus. Jesus said, "It's imperative that I go away." He said this in like John 14, 15, 16, 17. He said, "It's imperative that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit can't come." Remember that? So when the Holy Spirit comes, and at Pentecost, he came with fire on all of those that were gathered there. And it's just so important that we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and begin to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, healing, prophecy, all of those wonderful gifts that are mentioned, discernment. And you are just so important to the kingdom of God. You know, the kingdom of God is, means the rule and reign of God. That's what it means. Every time Jesus healed someone, the kingdom was established. Every time you pray with someone and the Lord comes to them and brings healing or salvation or whatever, the kingdom of the enemy is being pushed back. Isn't that exciting to think you could be a part of that? That's just, to me, it's the greatest joy in the world. But I believe that we all need encouragement to do that. I did not start out where I am now. Like, people will come up to me and they say, "I could never do what you do." You know, and I'm like, well, I've been doing it for 40 years, you know. So to me, it's natural. If I'm sitting with someone on a plane and they're hurting, I just say, "May I pray with you?" Or if they tell me a problem, I just say, may I pray with you? I've learned not to give advice because nobody listens to it anyway. Have you ever noticed that? People used to pay me when I was in private practice to give them advice, and they'd never do it. They'd never follow up on it. And I thought, why are you paying me? You know, why are you paying me? Do you just want someone to talk to? So the Lord really wants to use us. And I wrote something down here that came to me at 4 a.m. What if God's unlimited power was limited by our prayers? Now think about that. You have, because of the Holy Spirit in you, the power of God in you. You have the authority of Jesus Christ in his name. But you have to release that. It's as simple as that. When we had the healing service yesterday, all we do is go around and lay hands on people, because that's what Jesus said to do. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. So I wanted to just share an example of this in closing. Bishop Frank and Emmy are here, and they kind of know this story. They're dear friends. But, you know, when I married my husband, and as I said, that's a whole nother story, you know, we met in Jerusalem, and he came there to speak at a very large conference. It was maybe 8,000 people, I can't remember. I volunteered to work the conference because I wanted to hear. It was Catherine Kuhlman and Francis and all, Pat Robertson. It was all these, you know, they were younger then, but they were still well known. My husband was the leading priest in the Catholic Church in the healing ministry. So we were just getting into healing at this Baptist church I attended. And so we went to the conference. We were so excited to learn from him. He left one book that he had written, Healing. And that's what we used to really begin the healing ministry in Jerusalem. And that's still, I think, the best teaching book out there. But anyway, he's world known. He's world class. I'm a therapist working in Clearwater, Florida at Christian Counseling Services, a practice I started. And we got married. And we did our first big conference. There were several thousand people there. And my husband, and you all know this about him, he loves to pray with people. I can't tell him anything is wrong with me. A headache, nothing. Especially if I'm in a hurry. Because he'll say, sit down, let me pray with you right now. And I'm like, thank you so much, but I've got to cook dinner and do this. He'll say, no, sit down. And everybody knows that. Leanne comes over to our house, or Emmy, and he's like, let me pray with you. You know, so that wasn't who I was. And he was a great speaker. So anyway, we're doing this conference. I spoke on inner healing in the afternoon, and he spoke on physical healing that evening. And then we had a healing service, and he wanted to lay hands on all 8,000 people, or however many were there. This is him. We'd stay for hours and hours and hours praying for people. So we go down, and there's such a press. People are pressing forward. There was no organization. And he started, I didn't realize it, but he started drifting away from me, you know, because people were pressing on him and grabbing him. And I'm standing there, and this woman, well, this line started forming in front of me. And I looked at the woman first in line, and I said, what are you doing? And she said, I'm getting in line for you to pray with me. And I said, oh, no, no, no. No, no, you want my husband. No, he has a gift of healing. You go over there, go over there. Now this woman, I might tell you, had big malignant tumors everywhere. They were on her arms, she couldn't even hold her neck down hardly. They were everywhere. I mean, she weighed about 80 pounds. She'd lost all of her hair to chemotherapy. And this is an embarrassing story, but I'm telling it to encourage you, okay? It's embarrassing for me, but I looked at her and I said, ma'am, I said, you're very sick. That's obvious. And I said, you know, you obviously have cancer. I'm so sorry. You really need my husband to pray for you. And she said, I can't get to him. You know, there's more people over there. That's why I'm with you. And I said, but I don't do that. That's not what I do. I do inner healing. I can't believe I said that to her, but I did say that. And she said, this was so humbling. She looked at me and she said, do you or do you not believe in Jesus Christ? Now, I'm a speaker at the conference. So I said, yes, I do. And she said, do you or do you not believe that Jesus heals today? And I said, yes, I do. See, she's nailing me. She's making me affirm my faith. And then I'll never forget her words. She said, for God's sake, pray for me because I'm dying. Now, what would you have done? You'd pray, of course. I mean, she didn't shame me, but she walked me right into it. So I said, okay. So I laid hands on her, and I probably prayed for 10 minutes without opening my eyes. I mean, I was just praying every prayer I'd ever learned. I was quoting every scripture I'd ever learned. And when I opened my eyes, she was smiling, and I said, how are you feeling? Now, the tumors were still there. She said, much better, thank you. And I said, do you feel strong enough to go stand in my husband's line? She said, no, I got what I came for. Well, about 3 weeks later, I got a letter. It was from that woman. And she said, dear Judith, I'm writing this letter to encourage you. And she said, I went to bed that night. I felt so much better after the prayer. I woke up in the morning and all the tumors were gone. All of them. And she said she went to her doctor and her oncologist, and the oncologist said, what happened to you? And she said, this really strange lady prayed for me. So in the letter, she said, I feel like you need encouragement. She said, you know, Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit was what I was seeking, and that's what I found. And her cancer never came back. I mean, she was totally and completely healed. And of course, I went into Francis with that letter. I said, look at that. And I kept it, I framed it. You know, because I was so happy that that woman was healed, and I was so happy that God used me in some small way to pray for her. Now, I know God would, in his mercy, have led her to somebody who was a more willing person, maybe, to heal her, because his intention was to heal her. But I'm so thankful that I got to pray with her, because it encouraged me to step out more, too. So when we talk about healing, which we love to talk about and we love to pray with people, but when we talk about healing, I just want to encourage you, you know, if you have the Holy Spirit of the living God living in you, which I know you do, if you're a follower of Jesus, it's just a matter of releasing. And when we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit listed in Corinthians, then it's interesting because healing is gifts of healing. It's the only one that's mentioned in the plural. So we have inner healing, we have physical healing, we have deliverance, we have spiritual healing, we have generational healing. And I believe a lot of people aren't healed when they receive prayer because there's not an understanding of the different kinds of healing and how they work together to bring a person to wholeness. Because we know sometimes an emotional problem or an inner problem can cause a physical problem, can it? If you have 70% of all diseases are psychogenic, they originate in the emotions, not psychosomatic, but psychogenic, then we've got to understand how to pray on all these different levels to get a person healed. And that's what people experience when they come to Christian Healing Ministries, or to a church like this, or to the Order of St. Luke, these wonderful healing places. But see, the more appropriate word in 1 Corinthians is manifestation of the Holy Spirit instead of gifts of the Holy Spirit. So what I learned that day in praying for that woman with cancer is the Lord can manifest himself in any way he chooses through me or through you to reach other people. Isn't that exciting? Like some of you may say, well, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a teacher. Well, neither was I. But that's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So I really just want to encourage you today to be able to know how much you're loved, number one. Even our enemies, as the gospel said today, to be able to love even our enemies, to be able to love those that are unlovable. You know, I've worked in every system. I've worked in mental hospitals where people were just locked away. I've worked in prisons. I've worked in extreme poverty in different countries. There's a lot of people that need so much. And, you know, we lose sight of that living in a place like Naples. We really do, don't we? Where there's more affluence, where there's enough food, where there's good health care. You know, we're in Jacksonville, so we have Mayo Clinic. You know, somebody in Africa or South America doesn't have that. So see, healing becomes very important. If we do a healing mission in another country, especially in a poor country, people walk for days to get there. Days just to get there because they don't have health care. So see, that was the heart of Jesus when he walked among people. He healed the lepers. He drove out demons. He healed blindness. He healed a woman, so raised him from the dead, who had lost her son. You're a part of this. Please don't make it just for people like me that are just so sold out that we have a healing center. Please let your churches that you represent become healing places and you be a part of that. Please have the boldness and the courage of Jesus to start caring about the world around you and the people around you. And I can see many of you are loving people. It's just a matter of taking that step, isn't it? And in my life, I had a woman that pushed me into that. I always had a heart for it, but I needed more boldness and more courage.